No Starman Jones today, but it's on audio cassette or whatever. If you want to listen to it in the car, you can. That's what I've been doing. All right. David said, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Wow, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Verse number 3 is where we'll start. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Here David is in a desert place, and if you start reading this, listen to it. Let's listen to it one more time. Verse number 3. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life. If you get to listening to David here, it don't even sound like he's in a wilderness place anymore. Sounds like David's in a pretty good old place. Don't even sound like he's in that place anymore. Sound like he's more on top of the world. He starts talking about the love of God. Man, he's starting to go. He's remembering God's love for him. That's what he's doing. He's starting to remember. I mean, think about being in a place, man, that's a hard place, a lonely place, a deserted place, a hurting place, a place where no God is, a place with no friends, a place with no church, a place with no Bible. And David's starting to remember the love of God in his life. Amen. Amen. So you're talking about closing the distance in your life between you and a holy God? You start reminiscing on the love of God in your life, and I promise you, it'll get you from where you are to where you ought to be. That's just all there is to it. Amen. He loves me, ladies and gentlemen. You know what helps me? What keeps me straight? Makes me want to live right? It's the love of God helps me. Right? I mean, who in the world ever wanted to take a mama and a daddy that loved them so good and was so good to them? Who in their right mind can go out and say, "I'm just going to destroy my mom and dad. I don't give a flip about them. I'm going to crush them. I'm going to hurt them." Nobody in their right mind wants to do that. You don't want to hurt people that loves you. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God's been so good to me that when I do wrong, it hurts me. It bothers me. It drives me crazy. And God's been so good to me. He loves me so good that when I do wrong, it makes me feel awful. And somebody's as good to you as God is to me, the last thing you ever want to do is break their heart or let them down. Is that so? I mean, when somebody loves you and treats you so good, last thing you want to do is let that person down. I mean, I'll be honest with you. My bosses have never loved me. I've had several bosses, and none of them's ever loved me like God loved me. But I can promise you one thing, I never have one let my boss man down. I'm telling you, there's been times in my life my boss man would pull off the job. Man, I'd bust my hind end going crazy trying to, you know what I want to do instead? I want to impress him when he got back. I want him to be happy with what I didn't want to let him down. I want him to be encouraged when he got back. I want him to feel like, man, he can leave me and I can do the job and get it done. I want to impress him. And same way with God. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to let God down. God, it's the love of God that constrains me. It's the love of God that leads me to repentance. And man, I tell you, I just want to please Him. I want to love Him back, and I want to do good to Him. And boy, I tell you, it's good to sit down and just think about the love of God in your life. Sometimes you feel like, man, nobody loves you. I tell you, if you sit down for a minute and get to think about how much God loves you, it'll take you from where you are. It'll pick you up. I can promise you that. It'll sure do that for you. Then he said, because thy love is good. Because God's love is good, what's David going to do? Boy, I wish we could learn how to do this. David said, because thy love is so good, my lips shall praise thee. Isn't that what he said? My lips shall praise thee. Why is the lips of David going to praise God? Because he's starting to remember the love of God. He's starting to remember. That's what the Psalms 107 said. Even the wise can understand. Huh? God said, man, I'll give you some understanding. I'll let you start seeing how much I love you. I'll give you some understanding. You know how many times I've been, well, I shouldn't say it like that. It makes me sound like I've done it a lot, but there's been times, I'll say it like that. There's been times in my life, Eric, where I've went into my secret place and began to pray, or my prayer closet, whatever you want to call it. There's been times that I've went into that prayer closet and began to pray, and I tell you, I made up my mind. I wasn't going to ask God for a thing. Boy, I'm telling you, there's been times in my life where I've been low, I've been hurting, I've been struggling, I've been in a desert place. I said, I'm not even going to ask God to get me out of this desert place. Man, I'm telling you, I get in that secret place for that prayer closet, begin to just thank God for who He is. Thank God for His love, and thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for all of His blessings on my, hey man, don't even worry about asking God, God, would you get me out of here? I'm telling you, friend, you get to thanking God, and you get your mind off your little situation and circumstance, and get to thinking about how much God loves you. You'll never run out of things to say. Never run out of things to say God's been so good to you. I'll tell you one thing, friend. Here's what I found out. I found this out in my prayer closet. When you get to bragging on Jesus, He likes it. He likes it, amen. I'm telling you, God smiles on that. Friend, you brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you look in that Bible, and the Bible talks about Him being the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Life, the Alpha and Omega. Man, I'm telling you, boy, all this stuff gets to coming back to your mind of who God is and what God is. I'm telling you, friend, it'll take you from a desert place to a place of praise. Amen. Hey, David's still in the wilderness. He's still dwelling in an awful place. He's still in a place where no water is. But the Bible's done got him to a place now where he's praising God in the midst of this wilderness. Isn't that amazing? Because he's starting to remember God's love. That's a blessing. He's starting to think, boy, God's been so good to me. I might be in this wilderness place. I might be a cast out. I might be pushed aside. I might be friendless. But friend, God's been so good to me. I'm just going to sit here and this thing's going to turn into a praise. Amen. His complaint turned into a praise. I like that. God likes it. Verse number 4 says, David said, thus will I bless thee while I live. He's still in the wilderness, ladies and gentlemen. Ain't that something that you can get in a place like that in your life and learn how to praise God? Isn't it amazing that you can be in a place like that and learn how to bless the Lord still? Isn't it amazing that you can be in a place like that? You can go through some fiery trials and your life can still bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You know, I got to looking at this thing in the scriptures because it's so good, Eric, I kept forgetting David's still in the wilderness. And I mean, I get to looking at what all this wilderness is. Go back there and follow the wilderness, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a pleasant place. It's a miserable place. Nobody enjoyed being there. I mean, that wasn't the blessings of God, you understand? God had some for them children over there in Canaan. That's where His blessing. He didn't intend for them to stay in that wilderness. The wilderness was a bad place to be. But I get to reading this, man, I get to forgetting it. It seems like David's sitting there watching a good movie, eating popcorn. I mean, man, he gets so good, but he's not there. He's still in the wilderness. God, and he said, I'm going to bless the Lord. He's in a place where he's not even sure that he's going to make it another day. That wilderness is uncertain. You don't even know, Miss Denny, if your life's going to be. That's what Paul said. My life is in jeopardy. Man, there was stuff jumping out on Paul every day. And he was being shipwrecked and sold. His life was in danger. He didn't know if he was going to live to see it. And here's David said, you know what I'm going to do? I may not make it tomorrow, but I tell you what I do have. I have right now. And I'm going to take this opportunity to bless the Lord while I have life to bless the Lord. Isn't that good? Don't waste your time complaining and bickering and just feeling sorry for yourself because you're in a bad place, because circumstances is piled up against you. Take the time that you have and bless the Lord with it. Amen. You want to get close to God? Take the time that you have this day, this hour, this moment in life and bless the Lord with what you got right here and right now. Reason why a lot of people can't get any more blessed than what they are is because they're not grateful for what they've got. Amen. That's right. God want God to do more and won't even be thankful for what they have. Instead of complaining or pouting, David said, I'm just going to, boy, and I tell you, he could have probably pouted. He probably could have had the mully grubs. I mean, man, he'd been a pretty good old boy. And here was a king. This all it was, Zach, was a king, wicked king, got mad, got jealous over him. David hadn't done anything. A king got jealous of him. Instead, Saul got mad at David. And David was driven out into this wilderness where he's at, running from Saul, running, hiding for his life. This king wanting to kill him. For what? Because he went out and defeated the Philistine that was cussing the people of God?
cussing them and defying the God of Israel. David went out, killed him. The people began to sing. Saul's killed his thousands. David killed his 10,000s. I mean, man, he stood over and blessed the king. Done everything in the world he could for him. King got jealous, turned against him. David fled. You talking about hurt, friend. I'm talking about when those people that you love and do the most for turn against you. That's a hurting place. That's a hurting place. It's a hurting place when people that you love the most turn their backs on you. It's a hurting place when the people that you've done the most for turn around and spit in your face. That's where David was. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to pout about it. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to take this opportunity and I'm going to bless my God. I like that. Amen. I like it. Good. Ladies and gentlemen, it don't take long in this whole life to figure out what Job said was so. Man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. It don't take long to figure out this life is full of heartaches and troubles. It don't take long to figure out there's a bunch of old junk comes along with this thing called life. But I promise you one thing, instead of getting down and out, instead of feeling sorry for yourself, instead of pouting and patting yourself on the back, won't you lift your head up and say, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity with my little feeble effort and with nothing else that I have but this breath that God's put within me, and I'm going to bless the Lord with it. Amen. You want to talk about getting close to God? God likes it, friend. That's how you draw nigh to God. And that's the kind of stuff that makes God say, you know what? Here's a time in this human's life where they probably ought to be down and out. But they're taking this opportunity to praise me anyhow. And God begins to move closer to us. Right? God honors that, friend. David said, thus will I bless thee while I live. He said, I don't know if I'll be alive tomorrow, so I'm going to bless him today. Better bless him while I can. You remember over in chapter 107, we read it. All those chains and irons that bound these folks. They were all bound. Listen to what he said. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And we read over in the book of Psalms 107 where they were bound in chains of iron and affliction. Mr. Eddie, you know what I noticed? When a man is bound in chains of iron and affliction, it's kind of hard to lift your hands up, JD, when your hands is chained to your ankles. When you got them shackles of sin on you, friend, it's hard to lift your hands up. You understand that? But I'll tell you, when Jesus makes a man free and breaks them shackles, and oh, thank God, man, for the first time in your life, because you've been made free in Him, you can set, lift up your hands and say, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. You can't do that in sin. You do that when you're made free. As sin will bind you, it's like shackles and chains on you. Doesn't matter. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. When you're free in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you've been made free, like John 8 talks about, it don't matter what kind of circumstances you're facing. It don't matter what kind of wilderness you might be in. It don't matter how dry and thirsty the land is. It doesn't matter. None of the circumstances. I'm going to tell you what, friend, when you've been made free in the Lord Jesus Christ, you learn, thank God, how to lift up your hands and say, thank the Lord. You know what else I noticed about lifting up your hands? Something I hope you can all relate to. You know something else I noticed about lifting them hands up? Anybody ever watch the last pitch of last out of a World Series? A World Series baseball game. Man, they got that pitch up on the mound. You know how many games? They've been over 100 games. Michael, it's a long season. Them old baseball players traveling all over the country. That old pitcher, he's a throwing. He's a throwing. He's a throwing. He gets down there in that World Series, man. He's pitched. He gets to pitch his last game. They've done 1-3 games. He's pitched 8 innings. They're ahead. One more out, friend. The ball game's over. And they're going to win the World Series. Yeah, how many of you ever watched the Olympics for them boys that's running? Them boys that's running. My God, you turn the Olympics on anymore, all you see is women competing at something. I thought, wouldn't it be something if they had them women competing at a cook-off? Wouldn't it be something if we had them competing at, you know, running a vacuum cleaner? Yeah. Preacher, you from Mars? Wouldn't it be something if they had them in there with some Betty Crocker cake mix and they was racing to the oven? Wouldn't it be something? Preacher, you out of your mind. Well,
my wife would win.
Boy, you just scored some points, son.
Yes.
You can take that ring off now, son. You're free. She made him wear that ring finger, that ring on his finger. Show everybody your ring so they'll understand what I'm talking about. Show them your ring. That's right. That's a bond slave. A slave. But hey, hello, you say in Bolt, boy, ain't nobody can run like him. That old black guy of Jamaica, right in Jamaica. Ain't nobody can run like you say in Bolt. That sucker gets up there in the big old 100 meter runs and stuff. By the time he gets down there about the 90 meter mark, he's looking over his shoulder, grinning at them old boys. I mean, so setting records. Hey, listen, don't matter if they run 400 meters, that's a bunch to me. I can't even hold a tie my shoe without being out of breath any long so fat, but I have to get on the stairs just to be able to tie my shoe nowadays without being out of breath. What's the first thing when you say a boat crosses that line? What do you see and do, ladies and gentlemen?
Race is on.
I won. Son, that sucker get there 400 yards, no matter how tired he is. Son, he crosses that line with his hands up. You know what that says? I'm victorious. And winners never do cross that line and pout about it. And winners never do cross that line without lifting up their hands and letting you know about it. You see that old boy last out of that World Series? Son, strike three. That guy catches the pop fly, ground ball to shortstop, out three ball games over, you win the World Series. I've seen them pitchers, son, whoa, throw that glove up in the air, take their hat and their glove and throw that thing up in the air, and I mean, man, hands up, catcher comes a running, jumps up in his arms, everybody's throwing their hands up, clapping, jumping, piling on, what is it? We're the victors, we're the victors, we're the victors. I don't care what race, what game, what thing you're watching. The people that win, they throw their hands up. You can go down there and watch Manny Pacquiao on YouTube. You watch them old boys fight. Man, they call that unanimous decisions or TKO or just whatever it is. Proclaim that victory at the end of that fight. Them old boys went the distance. I mean, them arms feel like they weigh 200 pounds apiece. And they fought 12 rounds. Man, they can call their name and say they won the fight. And up goes them hands. They're celebrating. What is it? They got the victory. You know what David said? David said, I might be over here in this wilderness. I might be down. I might be out. The odds be stacked up against me. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. You know what? There's victory in Jesus. Friend, I'm going to lift up my hands. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care who's in the White House. I've got the victory. Thank God in Jesus. I'm just going to lift up my hands. You know what you can do when you have the victory over sin? You can lift up your hands. But when sin's got you, Miss Stephanie, oh, friend, it's hard to lift your hands up. It's hard to praise God. It's hard to bless Him. I'm going to tell you why people live so discouraged and defeated. Because they're living in sin. Living in sin. I tell you why people got such long faces. Because sin is eating alive in their heart. I tell you why people can't praise and bless the Lord. Because of sin eating them alive on the inside. Ain't never been having no victory. That's Ebonics, in case you didn't catch it. They'd be having no victory. Amen. I like it, friend. They got the, David said, I've got the victory. Isn't that amazing to be in a place like David was in? To be hurt by the people that he loves the most? To be a cast out, a castaway, just brushed off, counted as absolutely nothing. And David said, you know what? Man, I probably ought to be pouting according to society, but I'm just going to lift up my hands because God has given me victory. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not no bondage to this thing. I'm not in bondage to this desert. I'm not in bondage to this dry spell. God has given me the victory. I like it. Nothing like victory in Jesus. Lord have mercy. Folks, I'm telling you that there's victory in Jesus and you do not have to be captive to sin. I like what Paul said in the book of Romans. He says, sin shall not have dominion over you. I get sick and tired of hearing people say, I gotta do this, man, this stuff's on me, it's the curse of my father, it's the curse of my mother, it's the curse of my family. Man, I'm just bound to this thing, listening to what Paul said. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You can be made free from the law of sin, thank God. I'm telling you, you can have the victory, and you can stand up in the midst of hell, in the storms of this life, and you can bless the Lord, and you can lift up your hands, and give God the praise anyhow. Amen. Sure you can. Been times in my life where I've had to. Been times in my life where I've failed in these situations. Been times in my life where I've got the pooch mouth, Miss Stephanie, and walked away with my lip dragging on the ground and felt sorry, had my little pity party. Been times, but I tell you what, friend, that never got me any closer to God. Hey! That never got me any closer to God. Having pity parties never helped me move toward Him. Feeling sorry for myself never helped me get to Him. But I tell you, thank God, I rested in His love, and loving Him, and praising Him, and lifting up my hands, and shouting the victory, and letting the redeemed of the Lord just say so. That's helped me move closer to Him. You know what happens? You know what happens when you do that? He moves closer to you. That's why it says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. I'm telling you, friend, you get to reading this thing. David didn't even act like he was in a wilderness anymore. David was over there having a Holy Ghost spell. I mean, he was shouting, man, he had the victory. He was rejoicing in the Lord. He was still in the same place. Why did he do that? So you and I could have this example of how to do the same thing, because but God knew that we was going to go through many dangers, toils, and snares. He knew that. God wanted us to see the boys, no matter what you go through, girls, no matter what you go through, there's victory in Jesus. Mama, I've said it for years and years. The problem ain't with the victory. The problem is with the appropriation. People just do not appropriate the victory that God's given us. It's there, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus died on the cross, okay? He was buried, resurrected, and He ever lived to make intercession for the saints of God. Victory is ours. It's just what you do with it. Verse number 5. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. Boy, that sounds like Psalm 107, don't it? That satisfaction, huh? And that satisfy you like Jesus. I ain't gonna get on this. But ladies and gentlemen, there are so many Jesuses in the world today. People ain't satisfied. Listen, they're dissatisfied in the name of Jesus. People are going to church. People are toting their Bibles. People are active. They're doing all the things that they are told to do. But they still have no satisfaction. You know why? Because there's every kind of little Jesus in the world. Ain't that what your Bible says? It's going to be many Christs, false Christs, antichrist. Many of them. And we're living in a day that's just eat up with the spirit of antichrist. It is just eating our society alive, and people's just falling right into the snare. That's why. That platform's been built long, long ago, ladies and gentlemen. The platform for the antichrist ain't being built. It's been built a long time ago. That sucker's running wild in America. Only he who letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. The only thing that's stopping it from going full swing is the Holy Ghost. When that spirit of God, when the Holy Ghost is taken out, thank God, the church will be taken out. Then shall that evil one, that son of perdition, be revealed. Miss Holly, let me ask you a question. How come this little rock and roll Jesus crowd, and y'all know who I'm talking about, the rock and roll Jesus crowd. Never seen nothing like it in all my life, the last 10 years, the rock and roll Jesus that's just swept across America. Yeah. And it's been out since the 60s, but it's never been like it has in the last 10 years. I mean, it blows my mind. Why do you gotta have? Why can't you be satisfied with it? Why they gotta have all this fornication mixed in with it? I know what I'm talking about. The majority of that crowd's living wickeder than Charles Manson ever dreamed of living. Just as wicked. They're living in fornication. They've justified drunkenness. Why? Because they're not satisfied with that little hippie Jesus they got. He ain't satisfied. So now they gotta go off into this and get off everything, ladies and gentlemen. And it ain't just that. Listen to me. Trust me. There's a Jesus that preaches prosperity across America. And he's not just in your charismatic churches anymore. 15 years ago, J.D., he was only in your charismatic churches. Today he's in our Baptist churches. And he's built a bridge with his little contemporary music from the charismatic church over to the Baptist church, and a bunch of us fools have jumped on board.
Yeah.
That Jesus.
Say it, Zach.
It talks about them saying James God.
That's right, over in the book of Timothy.
I'm telling you, buddy, they're turning this thing into they're making merchandise of the thing, and I'm talking about Baptists making merchandise of Jesus Christ. They're selling Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Selling Jesus. I don't mind telling you, it's just us here today. My son seen the tent sitting over on the side of the road, and it's sitting there for all them weeks. He lives about 2 miles from that tent. 2 miles. That tent's on his exit ramp. That tent's on his exit ramp. And I'm hearing about all these thousands of souls being saved. My son lives 2 miles from it. Finally, at the end of the meeting, I said, son, what about that tent over there on your exit? Oh, Dad, what is that? Are they having a big sale? And I thought about it for a second, and I wanted to go, no, and I had to bite down on it. Basically, yes. Yes, because you can go buy their little t-shirts, and you can buy their hats that talk about the revival. And I don't mind saying it, ladies and gentlemen, because it's wicked as hell. They made merchandise out of the ministry. Almost $300,000, over $347,000 to buy a $200,000 tent. Money's still coming in. They're still taking donations, by the way. They're still taking your money if you want to get it. I thought real revivals would have reached 2 miles down the road. Yeah. Real revivals would reach 2 miles down the road. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about all these other little Jesuses in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, they but one Jesus, and it's the real Jesus. It's Jehovah God, and He'll satisfy the need of your soul. Thank God He'll ever so satisfy that. You'll be so satisfied. It's pathetic. You know what the Catholics do? They celebrate this little Hail Mary Jesus. Are you kidding me? They've changed the Bible to fit their little philosophy. Every time one of them has a brain fart, they change the scriptures around. Every time one of them has a little idea or something. Oh, I tell you what, well, I got a granddaughter. Let's change this now. Let's have infant baptism. Are you kidding? So my granddaughter, no matter what, she can go to heaven because we baptized. That's a Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, that's been preached in America. Can I be honest with you? That bunch of drunks, that bunch of perverts, they sit around and molest the little choir boys and everything in the stinking world. Why didn't their Jesus satisfy them? Because it's a false Jesus. Right. Now, I tell you what I'm trying to say. You ever get a hold of the real thing, He'll satisfy. Amen. I tell you, if you ever get a hold of the real thing, He'll satisfy you. Thanks be to God that the Christ of Calvary can satisfy the greatest need of the worst heart in the world today. The greatest need of the worst heart today. If there was a chance, if there was a chance that Charles Manson could be saved, there's enough God in Jesus Christ to redeem that filthy sinner. Amen. Amen. To satisfy the need of that wicked sucker's heart. I just don't think there's a chance. God help us. Folks, these are just some good principles. I don't think you should ever be a hypocrite. I don't. But I also don't believe that you should sit around with your lip dragging the ground. That's right. I don't believe you ought to pretend what you to be what you don't ever intend to be. And if you're not going to live for God, don't sit around and try to lift up your hands and blaspheme the name of God. Don't sit around trying to praise the Lord. Don't try to do all that. I tell you, man, if you want to bless the Lord, though, sure enough, get your heart right with God and draw close to Him. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins. Confess your faults. Come clean with Jesus. Thank God. Come clean with whoever you need to come clean with. And yes, I believe that. Husbands and wives, I believe we need to come clean with each other. I believe husbands and wives need to be clean with each other. I believe mamas and daughters need to be clean with each other. Sons and daddies need to be clean with each other. T tell you something, friend. Don't tell me how godly you are and you got all in your heart against somebody else. Don't tell me that you're right with God. I believe you ought to get right with people too, friend. I believe you ought to apologize and make some things right and sit down and just be honest. Be honest and tell the truth. Tell where you are. Tell what you think. Tell how you feel. Pour it out. Be mature enough to handle what's coming at you though. It's good. So what is that talking about? I'm talking about drawing nigh to God. Miss Holly, can I be honest about revival? Most of the time that's how revival gets started. Most of the time, ladies and gentlemen, real revival will come through people confessing their faults one to another. Miss Stephanie, I'm going to come to you and say, baby, if I've wronged you, listen, I have wronged you. And I'll tell you how I wronged you. And I'm going to get that thing right. And if we handle that thing just like the scripture says, we can have personal revival in our home. And I'll tell you, when that stuff starts in your home, it bleeds over into the church. When it bleeds into the church, it bleeds over into the community. Why? Because people begin to get right with each other. Man, that's how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you draw close to God. Get things right between you and your friends, your loved ones. We ought to learn how to brag on Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. I ain't talking about being a hypocrite, but be real about it. If you ain't gonna live it, don't try it. But you ought to learn how to brag on Jesus even in the wilderness. Verse number 6, I'll hurry. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. I don't know about y'all, but I like to lay down on my bed at night and just think about the Lord. You ever sit down and go back through your day and think about, you know, what the Lord done for you that day, or something you read, something the Lord showed you? That's good. That's what David did. David was, hey Eric, David wasn't sleeping on a memory phone. Hey, he wasn't able to Google out there one of them My Pillows. He didn't have one of them My Pillows. No, he probably had him an old rock out there for a pillow, and he was laying on probably a bed of dirt. Here's what he said. I'm going to lay here in the bed and think about how good God's been to me. Isn't that amazing? Man, I tell you, if we had to go to bed in them circumstances, most of us wouldn't even sleep at night. We'd just cry ourselves all the way through the night. There old David was living out there in a desert place, a wilderness. I'm telling you, man, he didn't have no comfort and luxuries of life. And he said, I ain't worried about that. What I want to do is just think about how good God's been to me. I ain't preaching against your mattress. Thank God for them. If you got extra money, you want to buy me a good king size mattress. Man, more power to you. But I'm glad we don't have to have that to bless the Lord, ain't you? I think David had one of them stay cool rocks. You know, they advertise them stay cool pillows where you can be on all night, still kind of cool, you don't sweat. No, I think he had a stay cool rock. There was enough jagged edges in it to keep air flowing through it all through the night. Verses 7 says, we'll read right on down through 11, because thou hast been my help. Ladies and gentlemen, I just can't help but to think David's still over here in this awful place. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Are you listening? I don't want to comment. I can't help it. David said, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Mama, I figured out a long time ago, in order to be in the shadow of something, you gotta be pretty close. Thank God, man. You see where David's done got? He's done got up underneath the shadow of God Almighty. He's over there in a wilderness place, and God's done spread his wings, and David's done crawled under the shadow of the wings of God. That's pretty close, ain't it? You know, they wrote that old song about people dying and going to hell in the shadow of the steeple. And we worried about sending money to Africa and people right here in the shadow of our next door, real close. That's where David's at. He's that close to God. You can be there in this place. He said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Hard. He said, I'm getting after this thing, doing it with everything that I've got, everything within me, and going hard after God. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Did you see that? He went from being in the wilderness to being in the shadow. Now God's got him in his hand. Man, thank God. He's still, Miss Holly, in the wilderness, but he's in the hand of God in that wilderness. He said, thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Ladies and gentlemen, verse number 8 said, thy right hand upholdeth me. Ain't that a blessing? Remember I said, if you'll draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Here's a biblical example, ladies and gentlemen, Psalm 63, of a man that was living in this very situation to draw nigh to God. And I know we got some pretty bad circumstances in our life, and there's some pretty ugly things that's going on around us, especially in the state of North Carolina right now. They said North Carolina is the boomingest economy in the United States right now. And yet they're fighting, ladies and gentlemen. They're fighting. I might just be chasing rabbits here, Michael, but I get to thinking every once in a while that I'd rather have the blessings of God on my state than I have all the NCAA tournaments. You can take your basketball and put it in the hell. I don't give a flip. I'd rather have God's blessings on this state than all the NCAA tournaments, all the basketball, all the football, all the sports combined put together. I wouldn't give a flip if every university in the state of North Carolina went out of it. I don't care. We need God. We need God. Now, I'm not trying to be inconsiderate of people and all that, but I'm telling you, when you start taking money over morals, we're done. You understand? When you start taking money over morality, over biblical standards, we're done. I don't want no part of that. And sit around. God's blessed North Carolina. He's blessed us. And yet we keep fighting for wickedness. Let's get more wicked. Let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to give in all this sin. I'm going to tell you what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. I said it, I believe, Wednesday night. What we're watching today is a God set in heaven and let a nation destroy itself. He's letting it happen. We're seeing it before our own eyes in this generation. We're seeing God allow a nation take itself, buddy. Go right into the tank. And I'm telling you, God's sitting back going, okay, I'll give you what you want. But I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to lose me. God help us, friend. I'm going to tell you, you want to draw nigh to God? Draw nigh to him. And this is a perfect example of how to do it. And I promise you, when you do this, God will draw nigh to you. But I tell you what God demands. God demands holiness. That's right. See, preacher, I'm not holy. Listen to me. Preacher, I'm not holy. Listen, I'm not saved. Listen, I'm not saved. How can I be holy? Listen to me. If God has pointed out anything in your life, I don't care. I may mention in here bubble gum. If God wants you to quit chewing bubble gum, preacher, that's PM. It may be, but if God's put that on you, it's the most important thing in the entire world. May not be wrong for nobody else, but God brought it up to you. It's wrong, pal. If God has pointed anything out in your life, listen to me real good. What you ought to do is get that thing right. And I'll be honest with you. You're exactly where God, if you'll do that, you're exactly where God had you to be at that time in your life. God honor that mistake and he'll continue to move. But if you rebel and you don't deal with God in that business, God will withdraw himself. That's right. Saved or lost, buddy. I'm telling you, lost people's got to get saved too. And there's a way for lost people to approach and get close to God. And there's a way for saved people to get close to God and get God close to you. And it's laid out here in these scriptures, same principle for everybody. Same principle. You just deal with things as God deals with you. And friend, I tell you, I think that lost people ought to be able to bless the Lord. I think saved people ought to bless the Lord. I think lost people ought to praise the Lord. I think saved people ought to... Hey, let me tell you something. If you made it this week, another week, saved or lost, everybody that's made it another week ought to be able to lift up their hand and say, preach, I want to thank God for bringing me another week. I mean, think about the mess you got to go through. If God was to remove the scale from your eyes and let you see the hell that was around you, the devils, the wickedness that really was around us, it would give us all heart attacks. We'd probably all drop dead if we got the scales removed from our eyes.
God's brought us through. God's brought us through. And I tell you, everybody ought to be able to stand up and say, "Preach, I want to thank God for what he's done for me. He's been good to me. He's took care of me. Took care of my family. Provided for us. Gave us food. Gave us clothes. Gave us cars. Everything." Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now take this living example, dear God, of how to draw nigh to you. A man that's in an awful situation, an awful circumstance in life, how he drew nigh to you. God, the principle is that we can do the same thing. God, it's your desire to see us draw nigh unto you. If it's not so, God, you'd never put it in your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd help this congregation to be close to you. God, help us to be in the place where we can behold your glory. God, help us to be in the place where you can pass by this place, Lord. Lord, each home in this congregation, Lord, that you can pass by the homes in here and look in on the homes and smile, God, and be pleased with what you see. Help us, oh God, to draw nigh to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.